Okay, I call the March 20th, 2018 regular board meeting of the Glencoe Park District to order. Lisa, please call the roll and note the time.
7:02, Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Here. Okay, so we need to do an approval for Commissioner Boren to attend via phone conference. I will entertain a motion to permit Commissioner Boren to attend the March regular meeting via phone conference.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes.
Felt weird asking her.
She's here. We're glad she's here. Okay, next item relates to the consent agenda. Items A to D are routine. Does any commissioner want any item pulled from the consent agenda? No. Okay. Well, then I will entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda item as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call, please.
Commissioner Boren?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdonk?
Yes. Okay. Next item, matters from the public. I guess, is there a public
yep,
here?
Yep, there's public here.
Okay, matters from the public. It's our practice not to address questions at this time. We will take input under advisement. Please limit your comments to 3 minutes, if at all possible. And if you want to speak, it'd be great to come up to the dais.
She's just observing.
Observer, okay?
She's from DJK. She's our liaison from DJK. So
okay.
She said she's been listening to our audio, and she came to put some faces to the voices.
Great. Well, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you. Okay, so no other people here for that. So we'll close that item. And now we are ready for our financial report. And let's hear how we're doing.
Carol.
So in your packet is the preliminary fiscal year end for all 12 months. What's not reflected in there is any accrued payables that we're going to pay over the course of the next couple of weeks since March 1. We received invoices that relate back to last fiscal year, so we accrue them back. But get a pretty good idea and a sense of the financials from what's included in your packet. No real surprises, you know, it's kind of been consistent throughout the 12-month period. Daycare really was over and above what we were projecting in the budget. Still might have some final accruals come through, but it's really, really good for daycare. Recreation was down a little bit. That's not surprising. We had a lot of deferred revenues at the end of the year. There's a journal entry that has to be made because we have programs that go January to May. So accordingly, we have to defer some of that money that were in the financials in the months of January and February to the fiscal year. So it's consistent with what we've always done. It's just a little bit lower. I think we're seeing, again, the true impact of the kindergarten loss of the kindergarten program revenues. We have made up for it in other areas. But that is something to just take note of at this point in time. Everything else looks pretty good, and the auditors will be out, I guess, next month. They were already out for preliminary work, so any audit adjustments would be reflected in the final numbers, but this gives you a pretty good idea, and is consistent with timing-wise from prior years.
Any questions from the board? I had a quick question.
Yes.
On our capital projects, I'm sure we pay as things are completed, and then there's money set aside to carry over into next year for completion of some of the things we thought we might finish this year?
Correct.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. Any other questions about our financial picture?
Just one. Yes. Why was there a 10% increase in the wages in daycare?
Because of the additional staff that we have quite a bit of turnover, and so subbing, I'll probably speak more directly to that, but when you bring in more revenue, you're going to obviously have more staff time to teach for those classes as well. So it's a combination. The higher the revenue, you're going to see higher wages.
And we also made a raise in all the wages in Children's Circle.
We did an adjustment for the last Hay Group survey back in 2013-14.
Yes.
So this also includes significant adjustment for both part-time and full-time this fiscal year.
If I'm looking at the right things, the thing that has the three columns, right? Mm-hmm. So revenue looks like it's up very modestly, but wages were up about 10%. So mm-hmm. is that what you expected?
And then the third column?
Yeah.
988?
I'm looking at the wrong thing.
So that was probably 2760.
Yeah, and it's all.
Oh, I'm sorry, I meant to ask. I was asking about recreation.
Oh,
recreation waste.
My bad.
Recreation department program? Is that what you're looking at?
Yeah, no, about
daycare.
Yeah. Went from 619 to about 670.
Well, the revenue was also off by about 100,000. So that would, when the revenue goes up, there's direct correlation with our wages also.
Do wages then also include increase in healthcare costs? I mean,
No, not in this one. This is a direct correlation with our increase in
wages. Okay.
That would be a direct increase if we went up $100,000 in revenue. Wages are going to go up
and
locked up with it, because those are added programs, so you have to have, you know, wages to pay the teachers.
I'm just roughly doing the math here. You're like up 3% roughly in revenue and 10% in wages.
You know, it vacillates too. Sometimes our programs, we do more internal versus contractual. I think
exactly.
It takes a little bit more analysis to look at the different program categories, because with the shift to kindergarten, you know, it might not be apples to apples from previous years because of that shift.
Well, certainly, I mean, it's a big surplus, so staff to keep an eye on it.
Mm-hmm.
Let's
look at it. We also have made adjustments to everything because of the minimum wage hike in Cook County. We don't have to raise it, but some of our permanent year-round staff we have to keep competitive with the marketplace. So that's probably a little bit of it, but we can look into more of a detailed analysis of it.
Okay. Sorry for missing that.
Nope.
So it's sort of interesting, minimum wage, whether it's mandated or not, I mean, that becomes our competition for hiring.
So it does.
In essence, it sort of forces us to meet the minimum wage standards.
In Cook County, right.
Cook County, which is
in order to be competitive and get the best staff.
Right.
If they're going to get, you know, $15 at McDonald's.
If you could, right.
Yeah. Okay. If McDonald's or Panera, which they are paying that, then we had to go up also.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions, concerns? Okay.
Good question, Josh.
Then I guess we're ready to move on. We still connected by phone?
Stephanie?
Yes, up here.
Okay, good.
Okay, Stephanie, great. Okay. Okay, now we're moving on to a discussion of the strategic plan. Lisa, will you introduce Barbara Heller? And I think we'll have a discussion on
future. We're very happy to have Barbara Heller back again, and we are equally glad that there was no big snowstorm today. Hopefully she gets back tomorrow. So, welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. So, you have a document, the strategic themes, objectives, and initiatives.
Did you hand those out?
So, just as an
overview,
the last time that I met with you, we talked about the mission, vision statements, took a look at the values.
Not right now.
And also talked a little bit about the hierarchy of strategy. So, you guys were involved in developing strategic themes. Since that time, I've met with the A team. I don't know who the B team is. I haven't figured out. But to work on the objectives in support of the themes, and then also worked on initiatives. So met with the A-team, and then also met with an employee group to get their input and feedback into the process. And part of what happened with employees, and this is what typically will happen, is their sites are at a much more tactical level and not as much as a strategic level. So what we made sure we did is we captured some tactics that were mentioned during the employee meetings just to make sure that they understand we heard them. But we wanted to elevate the language a little bit throughout the initiatives. So this represents about 5 years worth of work that we've laid out here, and they're organized according to short, mid, long-term objectives. And then there are some initiatives that we feel it's not a finite end, it's something that's going to be continuous. So we wanted to come back to you folks to get your perspective on this, and then once we gain consensus on all of the themes, the objectives, and the initiatives, then I'll write up the report. The other element that you haven't seen yet, and the staff hasn't either, I wait until we get the objectives and initiatives finalized, and then I take a first crack at developing some key performance indicators that relate to the objectives. I send that to the staff, so next time you see information about the strategic plan, it will have key performance indicators as part of the document. So yeah, it'll take me some time to put it all together from your comments this evening. I write up a report, give it to Lisa. She's going to give the draft to you guys so that you have an opportunity to review it again. And then beyond that, we would formally approve it. So what I'd like to do is, I don't know if you had any comments on the mission or vision and the work that we did. I know that Lisa sent around what the current mission and vision are,
and
then what we updated, just to kind of give you a sense of the difference between the two. And really it was a function of strengthening the language a little bit, made them more powerful statements. So we'll start with that. If you have any thoughts or comments about mission and vision.
Did you say it wasn't in the packet?
No, I put the, at the table, I put the current one, just so it's front and center of the board, and now the updated mission. So the updated mission is the one that's in the board packet.
Yeah, that was my idea. I was thinking, gee, when you look at these, somebody might want to know what they were initially and how they changed.
Stephanie, do you want me to read what the current one is?
Please.
No, that's okay. I just wanted to understand what I was looking at, but I see the one on top. So.
Yeah, that's the updated. I'll just read it. The current one is enriching lives and creating memorable experiences by providing exceptional services, parks, programs, and facilities. And the updated one says to enrich lives, build community, and create memorable experiences through exceptional parks, programs, and facilities. And then the vision statement, the current one is, we are committed to become the most innovative, customer-driven, and fiscally responsible park district for current and future generations. And then the new one, the new vision is, we aspire to be the most innovative, customer-driven, and financially and environmentally sustainable park district for current and future generations.
So, yeah, any thoughts on mission?
Do we need that extra vision? And in there? Our grammarian?
Oh. Oh, my goodness. No.
Look at it in the vision, they're thinking.
Yeah, you know, I had that thought, too, but then financially and environmentally are...
There links to them, and then there's...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I don't think it would be a good comment one.
In the mission statement, we lost the word service, or services. Just wondering if anyone else...
Well, we have parks, we have programs, and we have facilities. So I think to me, those all represent the services we offer.
So programs would be services.
Yeah.
So you're kind of switching one word.
Yes.
You know, services and programs are kind of the same thing, especially. Yeah.
So I guess for me, Stephanie, no, but do you have an issue with losing services?
Well, if the way you said that you consider it per rent, that I could live with that.
She can live with it. So,
commissioners, any other comments on the vision or the mission?
I can hear the voices of the commissioners in this language. I like it.
I can too. I totally can.
Actually, I think that they're good, healthy improvements.
Yes, I do too.
And the
spire
is a really nice.
Glad we didn't read it on the wall yet.
Yes.
No, we are.
Yes, there are many, many statements that the board said at the last meeting that I came that
someplace.
You can see
big.
Evidence of capturing some things that you had some good comments.
I like the active.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, doing. Yeah.
So big improvement. And then the values remain the same as what currently is in place. The staff feel that they are getting some really good mileage out of those. We did change safety to safety focused, just to be consistent with.
Partly there.
Partly there. Where are we short?
Now you can be our
commander. Somebody else go.
Our commander.
You know, we like them, and I know we can do this using all those same.
Yes.
But we still have safety focused, passionate, integrity. Responsibility. And I think you could make a case for using the same first letter, but there's like two ways that we could do this: innovative, responsive, integrity, focused, safety first, passionate, team oriented. That's one way you could do it. Innovation, responsiveness, you know, there's probably two ways that you could change the words so that they fit together and don't seem, to me, they're jarring when they're not the same form of speech.
So if this is jarring to you?
Continues to be, yeah.
Okay.
So give me one set of words that, how you'd like it?
I think what she's saying, if I can paraphrase, is she'd like them all to be verbs or all to be adjectives, and right now they kind of switch back and forth between nouns and adjectives. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yes, form speech, yes, yeah. Exactly. So we could do this now?
Yeah.
Okay. And everybody pitch in.
Yeah, okay.
Everybody can come up with this. Okay, so I would say innovative, responsive, let me think about whether it's, give me a minute and let me think of the best way to do this without, because you've added safety focus, I feel that we could probably put something for, you know, like safety first and integrity focused.
Oh, okay.
And then we could say passionate, responsive, innovative, and team oriented, and then they all fit together.
Okay.
That destroys spirit.
No, it does. We could still do it in the same. We could still do it in the same order.
Never destroy your spirit. Never.
Don't destroy our spirits.
Yes. Okay.
So like safety first.
Mm-hmm.
Passionate.
To me, the only thing that's like
just passionate.
Yeah, but in order to fix that.
Maybe come up with another word that starts with an I.
Oh, I like it.
I don't know. Integrity is very important to us. Yeah, that's a big value for us.
Yeah.
I'm not suggesting we change it.
So it's safety first, passion, right?
You could do team orientation, innovation, responsiveness, integrity, passion, safety. That's the other one.
What?
Safety, passion,
which one do you like?
Integrity, responsiveness.
The first way?
Innovation, team orientation.
Are you capturing that?
No, I didn't get the second one. Safety first. We like that. Safety first.
Safety.
Passion.
No, she just changed
just
it up.
Well, I gave you two choices.
I know. I like the first choice, but I know.
He wants a short one.
Yeah. Safety first and then integrity.
Passion.
Integrity is a hard word.
Can we just do it like straight down? Safety first. Passion.
Passionate.
Okay.
Safety
integrity
first,
integrity focused, responsive, innovative, and team oriented.
Okay, and what's the second option?
Okay.
Safety,
passion, integrity, responsiveness, innovation, team orientation. Yeah.
Integrity, or so safety, passion, integrity,
Responsiveness.
Yes.
And that's probably not as good because innovation is sort of a...
And team, what's the last one? Team ordinance?
Innovation, team ordinance. I should have written these down. Team
orientation. Yeah, team orientation.
Which I don't, that's just not going to work.
And no.
Innovation doesn't work either. So yeah. I think you're
the first line.
First.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you for that.
Safety first, passionate, integrity focused, responsive, innovative, and team oriented. Okay?
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. Are folks good with that? Everybody? Stephanie?
Stephanie, you good with that?
Good with that?
Yeah. The second one is going off the rails. So the first one is...
Okay.
Okay.
Good.
Perfect. Thank you.
Good.
The question is Erin okay with that?
Erin, you okay with that?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Does she know
but
what
the safety first is still a little
weird. Yeah, it is. But keeping... I mean, safety...
I agree with you.
But safety first kind of...
It does ring well. Yeah.
It's first.
Okay. All right. So then the next area are the themes, objectives, and the initiative. So we're looking at a 5-year plan, 2018-23, and we've categorized these. I came up with the initial time frames and then sent it to staff to get some impressions from them about the sequence and timing of these. But let's just take it, if there's 4 different areas, we'll start with the customer connection area. We have 3 objectives: reduce barriers, develop a customer feedback system, and analyze and adapt to community needs. And then there are a series of 9 different initiatives. So any comments on the evaluate the registration process or create greater community awareness and understanding of the district's organizational mission structure and flow of governance. Any comments or questions there?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Regarding the statement where you say create greater community awareness and understanding of the district's organizational mission structure and form of governance, I'm not sure if anyone outside of this room cares.
Okay.
I mean, we can spend a lot of time trying to brainstorm
ways of
instilling that.
That's one
of our users and people out in the community. I can't imagine why that would be a priority to adopt that in the
team. Yes, okay. Maybe it relates to transparency and sort of communication. Because, if you go out there, and I'm sure you experience this too, things that people bring up, they don't know if the village is responsible, if it's the park district, they don't know what the history of certain issues is, and the more they understand about how things work and who to go to when there's an issue, how to communicate with us, the better it is.
And I get it, then you're asking how we actually operate and where we actually operate. And I see that being a frontal situation, whereas we're trying to say we want you all to understand what our mission is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think the point was, and I got this from a few commissioners and passed on to Barbara, is that we want to make sure we educate the community of the importance of the park and recreation and the importance of the park district as a standalone form of government.
And those I interpret as completely different things than that, and I certainly respect that.
Do you think there's a better way to say that? Because we were winging it on how to say that.
I see that we need to continue to get the community involved in helping us evaluate the programs, the facilities, the services that we offer. As well as developing new programs, facilities, and services, being integrally involved in the direction of the park district.
That's a totally different, and that's another one that's further on. So
right.
This one we're trying to say is how can we educate them on the importance of the park district? I guess this is a little bit different than getting their input
and
on programs.
What you're saying, I interpret differently than what I'm reading.
Yeah. Anybody else? What do you think?
I'm wondering if we could more directly put in there, Lisa, what you mentioned about the park district being separate. It get that language in there would might be good for us to do that.
And I think to get the point I'm trying to make across in a more positive way, I would simply simplify that. Hopefully it would reduce its effectiveness. And by simplifying, I mean we want the community to understand what we do. We don't want to make that a complicated statement and confuse them before they even understand what we do. We just want to simplify that and get the community to understand where our reach is and where our focus is in the simplest way we can.
Yeah, okay.
Lisa, do you have any, because I know, do you have any thoughts on that? Because I know that was one of yours.
Yes, we want them to understand what our mission and responsibility is. I mean, we could probably cut this down, get rid of organizational mission, structure, and form of government. Governance, that's sort of like high-arching kind of way of describing it. So would you just say, we want them to understand what we do?
Mm-hmm. So like create a greater community awareness, understanding of the districts, of the park district, period, or?
Understanding of the district, period.
We got 2 cents.
We got 2 cents. I'll give you 3.
The vision and mission, I think, are great, and they really speak more. To me, they're more useful for the staff to understand what is it that they're doing when they get here.
Right.
Of course. And I think what we're really, at least kind of, I'm reading between the lines myself here, maybe I'm misinterpreting the intention, but this second sub-bullet under reduced barriers, if I can just, you know, speak bluntly, I think what we're saying there is make people understand that we're not the village.
Distinguish us from the village.
Can we add the word value?
How so?
Understand the value of the district and our role in the community or something like that?
How about that?
Yeah.
How about just that?
So say it again. Create a greater
understanding and
value.
Of the park district and our role in the community.
So create a greater community awareness
of the
value
of the park district and
its role
in the community.
Thank you, that's correct.
And our role in the community, is that how you're putting things in place?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think our is good. Okay. Thanks for that.
In the community?
The next page, there are
did you get that?
3 under. We have developed customer feedback systems. So the resident feedback system for park maintenance issues, research the use of a parks report card system in which parks are analyzed and assigned and graded according to a bunch of different metrics. I don't know if you want to add anything about that.
I think you covered it. I mean, it's an opportunity for the community to grade it.
Yeah.
And this is what goes to what I mentioned before we officially convened, that I'm not looking for us to reinvent good ideas that I thought we had been in the process of implementing, certainly with RecTrack and with this current group of staffing being very cognizant of taking the pulse of the community and our user groups, especially as I kind of end of programs of surveys and things.
Right.
And it seems like we're reinventing the wheel here a little bit when we're already doing that. We're simply making the assertion that we want to continue with those same good evaluations because it's not really new.
Steve, I think this is a little bit different. We're trying to get feedback for the parks and maintenance. So we don't have a formalized system. So for programs, we send out a program evaluation net. We don't have something like that for the parks. So we don't have like a method for people to say, do you want to explain it?
The first bullet point is a way of saying there's a tree limb that fell down on a pathway without having to make 4 different phone calls and go to the website and figure out who you have to call. Yeah. The second bullet point is a way for us to get kind of a living picture of what our community thinks of a park versus waiting until the last day of the season to find out if people thought the beach was clean all year long. But it could be for any park, any playground, any amenity.
Two newer things.
Yes.
This is a new initiative. It's kind of cutting edge.
What we want to do for the playground feedback is right now they all call Chris, and it's kind of not a good use of his time. It'd be nice if they had a mechanism to call to a certain line and then it can get dispatched. So that's what we're thinking. Possible.
That's how a lot of city governments are doing it. Where's the pothole tracker? Where's the city light out?
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
They can do it electronically. So that's what kind of looking at.
That would be really ideal, although not everybody can cooperate with that in Glencoe. But I mean, just because not everybody's computer savvy and understands.
Yeah.
I think there's the website directs you efficiently and quickly and without confusion to a place where you can be heard. That
right.
Would be great.
So that's kind of, so it is, it's continuing what we're doing, but now at a higher level.
Mm-hmm. And the last one under that objective is developing a district-wide customer satisfaction measurement system. Now it's everybody kind of does their mm-hmm. own thing, just having more of a standardization of the process and making sure that all areas are doing what they need to be doing in terms of measuring customer satisfaction.
And then eventually, so that the measurement doesn't change every year, that's so we can actually benchmark from year to year. Because so many times you put out a survey and then next year they do a whole different set of questions yeah. and then whole set, right. and it, they change, it just loops. So we want to get a system in place where we can benchmark from year to year.
Mm-hmm.
Analyze and adapting to community needs, we have four initiatives there. We recognize from the Comprehensive Master Plan that fitness wellness programs was number one on the list of household need as well as unmet needs, so we wanted to highlight that. The community-wide needs assessment is repeating a statistically valid survey in 2020. Those surveys should be done every 5 to 7 years.
The last survey was done about 5 years ago?
I say it was during their master plan, so it's more about the 3 to 4 year old
yeah.
mark.
Okay. Right? So by 2020, we'd be ready
okay.
for that. And then in the focus group work that we did, there were comments both at the board level as well as staff level of, you know, we need to pay attention and be aware of what are the other providers in the marketplace. So making sure that we tap into that. There might be opportunities where maybe we don't need to be offering a certain service if it's really being provided well in the private sector.
Can you tell me more about what a provider analysis is? Is it,
yeah, it would be
a
like
benchmarking
like,
or
yeah,
a survey?
It would be akin to benchmarking. It would just be like take a fitness center operation mm-hmm. of looking at other fitness centers and
okay.
finding out about what programs do they offer, what is their pricing like, some stuff about any kind of training they do, staff requirements, things like that. So it's mm-hmm. developing some metrics around core programs and services that there's a good amount of similar providers out there.
I'll give you a prime example right now because this will be one of the first things we launch into is dance. So in our dance programming, when we look at dance and what everybody else is providing, are we all providing high-end dance classes? And if so, is that market saturated? Should we be looking at maybe beginner dance classes that we feed them into those higher private dance studios? Stuff like that to really find out what our niche is so that we're not, you know, offering all these classes and they're not filling. And, you know, so just be really smart about our, you know, space that we have here. Say, Bobby, is that what we're looking for? Yeah.
Yeah, and I use the criteria of Malcolm Baldrige, criteria for performance excellence, quite a bit and when I look at organizations. And I know that in their customer focus, they really emphasize the importance of just keeping aware of what your competitors or similar mm-hmm. providers. I use the term similar provider as opposed to competitor.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just keeping alert to what's going on in the marketplace.
Mm-hmm. So we do that, like back to Steve, we do that already, but this is at like a more consistent, higher level and documented.
So I love it and we mm-hmm. have to do it, but it seems so late.
And don't expect that we're gonna do all programs next year.
Yeah.
We're gonna take it, like for example, dance class will be one of the first we do and we'll slowly build it, so.
Yeah, and we have it projected to be completed twice over a 5-year time period.
Mm-hmm.
So being sensitive to, and you can shorten it up so that it isn't as time intensive as what it may appear as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one in that area is create customer on-demand programming. So just the fact that changing demographics, changing trends, that we need to be nimble enough in our approach to programming. Anybody want to speak more to that one?
Yes, I probably have the most experience of it. We're getting a lot of customers whose schedules change or their needs change, or as we all know, this community likes to do things in groups. So we're trying to be as nimble as possible where we'll actually have a customer say, hey, we'd like to do a program, we'd like to do it on a Saturday or a Thursday night, and if we have the ability to do it, we'll say, if you can get 8 or 10 of neighbors to get it, together, we can run that. And we've successfully done that with a couple of our athletics programs, our skating programs. We did that with 2 aquatics and sailing camps last summer. So we're really trying to adapt to those needs of the community without bending over so backwards that it actually affects the amount of programming we do. So we're trying to balance that really carefully and provide what's needed in the community.
Yes,
it is. It is.
That would include things like tracking social economic change in the community, like aging.
Aging population. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay.
And we realize in that one, there's also, as Bobby alluded to, a very fine balance.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes we have to balance customers' wants or flexibilities with safety first or different things like that. So we can't always say yes to people, but we'll try to be as nimble as we can in those.
We're watching demographics really closely. Getting accurate information is hard because we are a small community where you can get a big shift in enrollments. You've seen
that
in kindergarten versus first grade, second. There could be a 40-kid change, and even a 35% swing in enrollments.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to be very flexible. You have to watch it. And then sometimes when you get the data, it's out of date. So you get a lot of movements in houses or people moving in. So we're constantly watching it, reading reports, seeing what's happening. And
talking to school districts, things like that. So.
And the other thing that's interesting about recreation programming is it's really a production exercise. Most programmers that are really, really busy are good programmers, and they're so busy that sometimes it's really hard for them to change up because it's easier to take the path of least resistance. So if I'm really busy, I don't have time, I'm going to use the same program to do the same programs, so I don't have to hire new instructors, I don't have to change up program guide material. So this is a way, too, of making sure that we're not offering the same stuff when it's the easy thing to do.
Exactly.
So that's a good one. That was a staff suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot. Yes, go ahead.
I like all these adapting functional needs, and I'd like to maybe suggest one that I don't see here that could break the financial school.
Yes, okay.
Open for discussion, of course. One of the reasons I think we have commissioners is because we're supposed to have our sort of ear to the ground in the community and listening to what the needs of the community are.
Yep.
And part of our financial planning discussions, I know I've had some discussions with other commissioners, we've kind of felt where the survey helps you guys help. I felt like if we have a responsible program, but it sometimes sort of come to us 80% baked. And I kind of like to interject some commissioner and community feedback earlier in that process.
For when they're choosing what programs and services to offer?
Not that, but also capital projects.
Oh, okay, got it. Yeah, how would you say
well,
that?
I mean, the way that, for example, we have this 3-year capital plan.
Yes.
So a lot of the stuff that's on there has been on there for multiple years.
Got it.
Some of it was on there from before some of us were commissioners.
Got it.
Maybe all of us were commissioners.
Right.
And so maybe that is still a priority, or maybe it's not a priority.
Okay.
But I think we should start having that discussion as a board a little earlier.
Okay.
In our financial plan.
Got it. Okay. Any thoughts, comments?
Well, I definitely agree. I obviously, all those capital projects come from our master plan, and we start with the park tour, and we talk about it, and we look at everything that we've earmarked in the past, so I guess we could bring it up at that point. I don't know how we make that as an initiative here. Do you have I don't know how you would want to write this, because I think we already do that, but.
There was a feeling, say, when we were going back to the Woodlawn Park, that we might have had additional input into certain things, looking at the larger scope of all the projects we were doing. And we approved that project as it was wonderfully presented. Had we gotten involved earlier, we might have gone a slightly simpler path. We approved what was presented to us. We might have given some direction to perhaps go with a simpler plan.
Okay, so how do you want...
That's kind of how I interpret what you're saying, is we would like things to be run by us a little earlier, before they've gotten out for much discussion, to see if we have any general feelings about the nature of an installation, a project, a capital plan.
So my question to you is, would you want that in reinvest in the infrastructure? Because it says identify and prioritize new capital projects as a result of availability of new and non-referendum bonding authority. Is that, or are you looking at a tactic more than?
It's more of a tactic. Your response when we first made that statement I just made was that we would have to be willing to attend possibly more meetings at the committee level if we wanted to have more board involvement. And I think most of us responded that that would be fine, a couple extra meetings a year so that we could flesh out the conceptual nature of some of these things. I don't know that we're looking to change anything significantly. We just want to have a little earlier run by
so,
before they're developed.
I understand. I'm still trying to get it where it, back not to here. Okay.
Yeah, to me it seems like it would be part of the identity.
Yeah, because I thought we kind of got that
project
just in that.
But we could call out specifically for board review in addition to what we have there, if that would work. All right. So then the next one is strengthen revenue sustainability.
Okay.
We have the analyze.
Sorry, could we would kind of moved on to financial stewardship, but I had a comment under the analyze.
Okay.
For the community needs. Can we add something just about communication and not saying that we're not good at it because, you know, we do our best, but sometimes with community needs, we'll have to cancel something or we don't have the enrollment or other examples like that, just making sure that we're always communicating the reasons why so that residents understand why we can't be flexible or, and again, not saying we don't do that, just maybe we could put something about communication in writing here so that we can always go back to that and remember it.
Yeah, I know some districts will have something like developing external communication guidelines. Would that be, is that what you're referring to?
Maybe, because that works, because things like if we're having a special event, guidelines on, and we've talked about this in the past, and I think we're getting better at it, but when something's sold out or when tickets will be available at the door and when they won't, and just, you know, so that the expectations are met and understood.
Mm-hmm. Yes, okay. Alrighty.
Very good.
Yeah, thank
Very
you.
Yeah. So would that go under analyze and adapt to community needs?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Develop external communication guidelines?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Good comment. Especially when somebody is ill, not feeling well.
Yeah, you're doing good.
Very well, very well.
Bonus points for that.
She hasn't taken NyQuil yet, I'm sure.
So strengthen revenue sustainability, we have analyzed deficit operations. So there's obviously some areas we want to make sure that we optimize as much as we can in terms of revenue to expense. And then the second one there is just growing alternative revenues in all forms, optimize for pricing, sponsorships, grants, donors, et cetera, et cetera. Any questions, comments there?
Donors, grant, donors, sponsorship, those are board responsibilities, right? That's like one of our
responsibilities. Yep, so that might be you.
Members.
Yeah,
and
that's
not
necessarily.
No, nothing in place, nothing's ever done, nothing's ever been done. We have nothing formal, nothing like if one of us should come up with something, that would be a good donor. We don't have a structure for that. Like, how do we do it? How do we put a package together, how do you approach them, all that kind of thing.
Yes.
So is there a way maybe uncoupling
the
part that is the board responsibility?
Yes.
Because I think that's something we really have to work
on. Yeah,
or is that a tactic?
In terms of the framework, I see that as being an initiative. Plus, I love the idea.
It is. I do, too.
I love the idea of giving board members some work to do.
Do some communities have what I'll call a Parks and Recreation Foundation? Or as we have had here in the early, early 90s of Friends of the Parks, and we've done these things that we have not done in too long, in my feeling, but we did a Friends of the Parks to reinvigorate Friends Park 27 years ago. We did have a community group to redo Watts when it was in serious repair approximately 20 years ago. I think as we evaluate and identify major things, things that could possibly require bonding or reestablishing the bonds that are about to expire or something, we might want to reinvigorate those concepts of friends of the parks or foundations to help a few board members reach out to the community and find those sort of grants or sponsorships or donations.
Yeah, you could definitely form a foundation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, good comments.
So you'll figure a way to write up that comment? Because I don't have done.
No, it's really good. Jenny's going to figure out how to write that. No, I can do that.
Yeah, probably.
I'll do that.
That's a great point. I like that because that is board-driven.
Tomorrow morning. I'll have it done by 7.
Okay, thank you.
So last area is the financial stability area. And the first bullet came as a result of a comment Steve made the last meeting about, gee, we need a plan B. What happens if something happens in terms of tax resources or people having trouble with SALT, state and local tax that you had mentioned, Lisa? So our thought was, let's identify what our core services are so that if we do need to reallocate based on diminishing tax resources, we have a plan in place to be able to do that, which is an admirable goal because most park districts don't think about plan B. And then the next one is develop a cost-benefit analysis. So whenever you look at a budget, you see the revenue and expense. So if I'm in charge of early childhood and I say, oh, we're making $100,000 in revenue and $80,000 in expense, oh, we're doing great. But none of the indirect costs are allocated to that. So this is taking a look at true cost of service, giving staff a good idea of what it's really costing us to offer different programs and services.
Is this different than or at least closely related to the first bullet on the previous, the first to analyze deficit operations?
Well, it's a little bit different. Analyze deficit operations.
I think it's a little bit different, because what we're looking at is really our deficit operations, our Watts and the beach, the beach and Boating Beach. So what we're doing there is we're just saying that we want to minimize the loss in those by being as efficient with our, what we either offer or our expenses at that site.
Our users.
Mm-hmm. So a little bit different.
Any other questions?
There are some similarities, I agree.
Question that I had was, in looking at financial stability, we need some kind of overview mechanism, I call it a monitoring program or a dashboard program, to kind of understand where we are at any particular time. And then some of these other things flow from that to get a handle as to, you know, how are we doing, how many miles per hour are we going, whatever.
Yes, right.
And then we'd be able to look at that at a glance, how are we doing. I'm especially concerned about the future of financial stability with all these crazy things going on at the state. You never can tell.
Yes,
and
right.
I'd like to be able to respond to that quickly and responsibly. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Yes, okay.
Carol, do you have a question on that?
I guess when you're thinking of what a snapshot, I mean, because look at the monthly report that's in your board packet that we look at, that you kind of see, okay, comparison, you can kind of point out trends like Josh did. What, I guess a little bit more information about what you want to get, you want to drill down more?
The staff would use the budget as that tool, I think, is what Carol's saying. We would use the monthlies and the budget for that, for our purposes, to get a snapshot of where things are at.
Right. Like, I guess when it comes to then moving it forward to more of a board level, what are some of the things that you're looking for?
Or you talk about the presentation of the same information just presented in a different way?
Both. Presented in a way, graphical probably.
Yeah, like data visualization.
Yeah, but a visualization of where we are so we can understand it at a glance.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, of course, on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
You see it on a regular basis, monthly.
Well, yeah.
Right.
And
well,
real-time information, are you suggesting, or not? That's not driving it. It's more of just a snapshot dashboard.
Well, we saw something the village did. What was that? Oh. You remember that? It was a kind of a, in their budget. It was kind of a graphic representation.
Went out to the entire community.
That went out to the entire community, so we could, if need be, we could share it with the. Community.
Well, you're asking for a visual annual report. We could do that. It's just.
I think data visualization that you.
Yeah.
That's
a good way.
That's a big trend in local government.
Yeah.
Address this and kind of speak to Carol mostly. The monthly financial reporting that you provide is really comprehensive and I like it. I think sometimes, at least for me, I have a hard time really internalizing, like, well, how much better or worse is this than we expected it to be?
Yeah.
And I almost imagine, whether you're talking about revenue or cost, either overall or for a particular program, you could almost have like a 12-month a line that says, this is where we expect this to be at the end of each month for the next 12 months, right? And then as you go, you know, as time passes, you see the actuals, and you can see, oh, revenues are way above the line that we expected them to be, or they're way below the line, or they're tracking right along the line.
Okay.
That's an example, maybe a data visualization that, at least for me, would make the same information that's already in the report easier to grasp, whether it's right what we expected or
way better. A little like the beach season. We could have a really warm May, that the tokens are, or the passes are gonna, I mean, it's really, I guess, it's hard to quantify some of the things that maybe registration is done in November one year versus December in another year. So I think that's the hard part for me is how do you do that?
It's not meaningful all the time.
Right, and it's not consistently year to year that we are doing the exact same thing, or we are adding programs, or we are losing programs to kindergarten. It becomes much easier probably to just do a narrative thing, and that's not really what you're looking for.
My whole professional life is coming up with the visualization that helps people internalize the mental map of what's really happening.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm totally sympathetic that it can be hard a priori to know what that is, but when you put something up that really helps people get it, everybody, there's like a gasp of aha.
We got it.
Yeah. I mean, I think I looked at the graph that you guys asked me to do, you and Lisa asked me to do, and I still get more questions back that in that process. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, I don't think we're supposed to solve this tonight.
But what we're looking at is,
I like the way it says data visualization, and then we'll have to, it may not happen tomorrow. It might be a year developing of how we can figure out how to do that and look at what other park districts are doing.
We could see what some other districts have done. I know some other districts have done
that. Yeah, there's a Silicon Valley startup that's called OpenGov, and that's what they do. They take financial information. Yeah, and they create really great visualization of data. Really great.
So we'll figure that out. I mean, we're not going to solve it today, but we know that's what we want.
How to do
okay,
it tonight.
Okay, perfect.
So that's something we want to look into.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Okay, great.
Okay, next area. Oh, well, no, I skipped over the last bullet for financial. Identify ongoing operations and maintenance costs. Seems pretty obvious, but it's amazing how that doesn't happen. It's so easy to come up with ideas for a new facility, and then we have money. We need money to operate it, and what's the impact of the budget? So the next area is operational effectiveness and efficiency. That speaks to all the internal support systems, and we have four objectives there: leveraging technology, embedding innovation, a strategic approach to environmental sustainable practices, and the last area is evaluate systems. So yeah, reevaluating the strategic IT plan, we know that's something that needs to be done, and there'll be some other steps involved in that. Any comments for that?
Amen.
Yeah, okay. And then innovation, we have innovation as part of our vision, and innovation doesn't just happen, so it would be, you know, how do we go about embedding innovation? And one good way of starting is, I have an assessment that I use for government agencies on innovation, getting a baseline of where we are with all of our systems, processes, leadership system, reward and recognition. So it's, that would be a starting point, find out where we are and then make improvements based on that. And then the next area is the environmental sustainable practices. So developing an environmental sustainability plan. The next bullet is about becoming a leader in the community, educating the community about our sustainable practices, how you can be more sustainable. And then the last bullet in that sustainable area is working with the village and expanding connectivity. That was another area that came from our comprehensive master plan, knowing that that was the number one unmet need of the residents.
And there actually is a task force that's looking at that right now.
Yeah, good. Yes. That's great. And then the last one is evaluating systems. So we want to take a strategic approach to marketing. Usually marketing in park districts ends up being much more tactically oriented, random, because it's people coming at marketing with, I need this, I need that. So flipping that to become more strategic, you know, where do we get our best return on investment for marketing resources? And then the next one is evaluate, promote, and strengthen internal processes. Now that one is very, very general, but what that would mean is identifying, you know, what are our most significant internal processes, which of those internal processes are in greatest need of improvement, and working on creating those efficiencies around that. And the next one's a big one. It's looking at a lot of different areas, from staffing levels, office space, evaluation, compensation review, and then also taking a look at our complement of part-time versus full-time positions. Are they all really classified correctly, and do we need to change that in the future? And then the last one is internal customer service satisfaction measurement. It's not all about the external customer, but we want to make sure that we work together really well. So yeah, any questions on the evaluation of systems? Go ahead, Mike.
Don't we have a salary survey or something for
that we're
next
doing
year?
There, yeah. That's yeah. Part of it. Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a tactic part of that.
Mm-hmm. And then the last area is team development. Strengthen agency learning and growth opportunities. And it's, the part-time recruitment and hiring and development is really it's a key problem for the industry as a whole nationally. So if you guys figure it out, you can be industry leaders.
What is the agency learning?
Agency learning, learning as a whole for the entire district.
I just don't understand the word agency, I guess.
Yeah, okay. So it could just be strengthened learning and growth opportunities.
That they meant for, you know, part distributing general.
So you mean like strengthening learning and growth opportunities for employees?
Yeah, that's mm-hmm. what the intent
yes.
is. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. But we could also maybe just strengthen learning and growth opportunities, mm-hmm. period, because it would include the board as well.
Yeah.
As long as people don't misunderstand that it was not external, this is all internal.
Yes, okay. So strengthen learning and growth opportunities for staff and board, or board and staff, excuse me. Okay. So under that one, we have three initiatives. We have the part-time recruitment, hiring. The next one is just, you know, identifying where are our competency gaps, skill gaps, and then making sure that our training dollars are aligned with improving those skill sets that are underperforming or not, we don't have those skill sets. So one might be data visualization, that we need more competency in that area. And then the last one is developing succession planning for key leadership positions. But we're hoping we don't need any of that because of the superior team that's currently in place. But you never know.
Yeah, I know.
And then define agency culture, which the district's done a good job, but we feel that on the onboarding process, that could be strengthened as far as identifying what the culture is, what we're looking for, and that would also be important too in hiring and recruiting and hiring. And then the last one is fostering an accountable work environment, strengthen the use of data for decision making, and then accountability for cost center budget projections and management. Can you guys talk a little bit about that one? That was something that you guys felt was a need to.
Yeah, and I think this is kind of driven by Lisa too.
It was all Lisa.
Well, it's like we create the budget, we operate the programs, and then how much of an analysis do we really do to see, hey, how was your budget? Was it on target? Mm-hmm. What things caused,
either
higher revenues, lower revenues, mm-hmm. and to do more of an analysis after the fact. Yeah. You know, once we get audited financials, pretty much everybody's on to the next year. We're ready to budget again, and we kind of just need to. What can we learn from what just happened?
Yeah.
Moving forward.
Yeah. Okay.
My goal is that when they budget, they're 98% with the budget, so they're budgeting accurately. Not to say I'm going to budget low, so it looks like I did really good because I.
Yes.
But I want accurate budgets. I want that within 98% eventually. And so that really means going back and looking at how we're budgeting, not just every year throwing the same numbers in, but really looking at the numbers we had last year and making those adjustments to the budgets. If trends are going down, switching out those programs, putting a new program in. So it really takes that analysis to do that.
Mm-hmm. So that's what I wanted to go over with you tonight. I don't know, did you get the implementation guideline sheet? Yeah.
Yeah, it's in the in your board packet.
It's just really for staff.
I didn't, but
how to deploy the plan.
I have it here.
And when I come back, I'm going to do a little workshop with staff to go over those because that's really important to me. It's one thing to build a strategic plan, the more important part is to execute.
Yep.
So I'm going to teach them how to execute. But they already know that because they have a track record with the comprehensive master plan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you,
Barbara. Hey, you're welcome.
Anything we're missing?
Thanks for all your good comments.
Anything we're missing? I think she really captured what the board said, the staff does, part-time staff. She's come back multiple times to, we've kind of beat this a lot to get to wordsmith and change things and move things. So.
Sure.
My first reaction, Lisa, was that it's a lot of stuff.
Yes.
I think, given the size of the team, this is appropriate.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's fairly ambitious, but not pie in the sky. So.
Right.
That's
5 years.
Good point.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure. And it'll take me about a week to take all of this information, refine it, and then work on some key performance indicators, and then work on a draft, and then you'll get to see the draft of the plan.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Barbara.
Thank you.
Make sure you sit down and stay for the rest of the meeting.
Yeah.
Get comfy.
Yeah.
You don't have to wake up at 6 a.m. or anything. Just stay.
Four.
She might still stay up.
Thank you for coming.
Yeah,
I appreciate it.
Stay up. But that is if I get out of here.
All right. Get out of here.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so our discussion of the strategic plan is over for the moment. She'll be back after we get the report.
Mm-hmm.
Is it next time?
She won't be back next month, yeah.
No,
she won't be back next month.
Okay.
We still have some more work to do.
Okay, so now it's time for staff reports.
Okay, Carol?
I really have nothing. I have a rough month, so.
Carol's nothing further to add. Anything for Carol? Okay, good. Bobby, you want to introduce Matt, please?
Sure. This is Tom Walker. He's the new beach facility manager. He started this month, and he's already hit the ground running. He's very busy. We got the voter forms out, and he's already fielding a lot of trellis and rental inquiries in town. He's doing a great job so far. It's his second tour with us, and we're really excited to see what he's going to do.
So if you don't know, Matt was here in his youthful days as a facility manager. So he's Glencoe bred, I guess you would say. And so he's a hometown boy and coming back.
This would technically.
Really?
Yeah, it was part-time.
It's a part-time, so there you go.
I go in as a DJ, so
yeah.
The grant.
There you go.
And I came to the park district as a attendant, a lifeguard, and a harbor master.
all through high school and college.
Right.
And then spent a year over in Winnetka, had a partnership there, and then the position for facilities manager came open here in 2001. I said, nobody knows the operation better. So I came on board over here and went through 05 and decided to spread my wings in a different direction, not knowing hindsight was 2020 at the time, and went through a couple different career paths, and something in the back of my head always said, Parks and Rec, I love it, I love the interaction. I never thought about taking my money out of Ayn Rand, for the retirement
fund. smart.
I had an inkling that I'd be coming back at some point in life, and lo and behold, I was doing commercial real estate, and I'd always checked the IPR website, and one time I happened to check it, and saw that this position was open. I said, oh boy.
Well, we're glad you're here.
We got to do this.
That's great.
So welcome back.
Yes. Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity again.
I'm glad. Don't feel like you have to stay for the rest of the meeting. You can leave whenever you'd like. So usually people run for the door now. That does not apply to anybody else. Bobby, have you anything else to add to your report?
Rec teams have a pretty busy month. We just got finished with the LEFCON house hunt this weekend, where we had 52 signed up, about 150 in attendance. We had the daddy daughter earlier this month with 160. And then we had Family Fun Fest 2 weekends ago with 350 people, really well attended special events. We closed Watts at the end of February. We're getting ready with each season we talked about. We're doing a lot of account preparation, hiring, analysis on some of our programs, some of our early childhood programs. Continuing with the fitness center, starting to look at some of the trends of attendance. Still early days, but we're starting to look at what our busy times are, what's working, what do we need to keep looking at. So we put some statistics in the report, if you had a chance to read them too. Just really firing on all cylinders, getting excited about the summer.
Any further questions for Bobby?
I want to say I appreciate the analytical analysis included in the report. I was especially impressed by the data we were able to capture related to the fitness center. That's kind of fun to see that stuff.
I have a quick question about the wait list for early childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Is the wait list, how do residents and non-residents, how are they treated on the wait list?
For Children's Circle or ELC?
For both.
Okay.
So with ELC, there is returning families and families currently in the program have an opportunity to register ahead of public or not. And then we have our residents registration followed by non-resident registration. Mm-hmm. Children's Circle has a different, more detailed process. Mm-hmm. So again, families who are currently in the program who are enrolled get priority registration for the next year.
Sure.
And then we have a registration process. Because the wait list is quite long already, basically the residents don't get priority over people who are already currently on the wait list. So we are looking at that currently, probably you've seen in the report, we are looking at ways how do we utilize the rooms we have, and how do we accommodate as many people as possible and alter our programs. But we're kind of investigating that at the current time. We're talking with DCFS, we're looking at room scheduling, we're looking at what the wait lists are, what programs are strong right now, what programs might be need some help or might not be running. So we're kind of investigating that right now and hopefully have some answers pretty soon.
So the answer is we will not kick out, say if a Children's Circle family is non-resident, we won't kick them out for
someone on a waiting list who's
for as a resident, correct.
Right.
Once they're in the program, they get priority along with their sibling, or if there's a sibling born, because that's very important to families that go to daycare, that they want all their children in the one location. So
there's a resident, non-resident price too.
Yes, yes.
And is there at some point data on how many residents were serving versus non-residents would be interesting.
On which, the early childhood?
Children's Circle? Yeah.
We can
do that.
Definitely.
And like Mike said, we're right now in the midst of how we're going to address that waiting list and making recommendations.
Yeah.
But it's a process we have to really think through. We're having conversations with DCFS. We're having conversations with parents. We're having conversations with teachers. just to make sure we have the right mix in. Probably by April, we'll be bringing a recommendation to the board about what we're going to do moving forward once we have put all the little pieces together to move forward.
It's a tricky dance because, like you say, one year there's a whole bunch of two-year-olds or a whole bunch of things, you know, it's just weirdly the next year there aren't, and you've got teachers in place and classrooms ready.
Right. But we're looking at what we're really seeing right now is that we have a great influx of people that want full day preschool. As opposed to
full-day preschool.
Yeah, which is our children. That's what our children's circle is. We don't just call it day. It's not just daycare. There's a learning component to all of our full-day programs. So they're not in school all day, but there's a preschool component to our children's circle. So, but people are looking for that full-day care. There's more double income. There's more people, and we have the system, and we're very good at it, put it in place for that full day. So we're really looking because that's where our biggest grade. Our need is and biggest wait list currently.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
Good question.
It's shown here, but the camp enrollment is up with the beach camp. I mean, that's a substantial jump in enrollment, so that's really nice to see.
Our beach camp, yes. We almost doubled, I believe, yes.
Which means it must have done well last year.
It's really popular, yeah.
It's a niche programming that others can't offer that we can, so.
But why did it jump by factor of 4?
So it's a great question. It actually doubled. So what happened was we went from a 2 week to one week. So you got to count 2 registrations for one. But if you were to divide it in half, it would effectively be doubled.
So is that what you attribute that to?
It's
the second year.
So it was a lot of people did it last year were scared because it is a smaller camp. We can't accommodate 30, 40 kids down there. We keep it at 15. We do open up a couple of spots occasionally. So people were scared that they were going to miss out. But last year what happened was there was a huge rush towards the end of the summer and we had big long wait lists in the class and we opened it up. We actually ended up last year opening up 2 additional weeks at the end of the summer. So last year was actually healthier than we thought it was going to be. So I think people were rushing to get into it. That's why. We will see that slow down now because we are starting. There's 4 or 5 of the 8 sessions for aquatics is actually full. And then the sailing is almost full in a lot of them. So we're not going to see a massive jump. I would be surprised if they all aren't full or very close to full.
Oh, so I see. So this data is how many people enrolled as of March 8th?
2017.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. Good. All right. Chris?
As Bobby indicated, it's the time of the year that we're getting ready for everything. So we're working outside, working on sports fields. We did have David Marin, our new full-time parks laborer, start this month. We're very excited for him to join the team. So you see us out and about town, working away. So any questions on my report?
You're starting to do some work with Friends of the Green Bay Trail?
That's correct, and the village, actually, tomorrow, over on the trail section.
Everybody's aware of that.
In Harbor. So we've got quite the plan and going to have a lot of resources in one place at one time, and we're really looking forward to working with the village and the Friends and getting that project seen through.
Great. Any other questions from the board on parks?
Erin?
We're just getting ready for spring and summer programs. The guide went out, registration happened, and we've had a lot of special events lately. So.
We are seeing a definite correlation between our email blasts and our registration numbers, so that's a really effective marketing tool for us as well, besides the brochure. So.
I just have a question on the brochure, and I know a lot goes into it, and it's really hard to get it out at a certain time and things like that. But this year it went out really close to the registration deadline, and I know we spent a lot of money on that, and a lot of people just went online and probably, you know, they didn't even look at the print one. So.
Yeah,
if we could get that earlier, maybe we
did talk about that internally. In the past, people have asked that, or we thought there would be if we put it closer to deadline, there would be a sense of urgency because people wanted to sign up as soon as they got it. Obviously, that was not what people wanted, so we heard that loud and clear. So we're going to move that delivery back to the date we had last year.
Yeah.
But the registration date was the same, but they want more time with the actual brochure, which we're going to accommodate.
Okay, great.
It's just about moving our deadlines around, but
yeah.
It met our deadlines.
It met our deadlines, just not with the community one.
And this was our smallest registration, so it was a good time to experiment a little bit with that timing-wise.
Do you hear that, Stephanie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, someone brought up too, and this is like for another time, but just so I don't forget the comment. Because this is a smaller registration this spring, that a couple of people emailed me to say, is it possible to register at the beginning of the year for other programs? I told them for a variety of reasons, I didn't think that was possible, but then I would bring it up. So I'm just sharing that.
Yeah, we can't put all the programs in there, but we are going to put things like, for example, the spring break camp, we're going to put that in the winter brochure. We noticed that was too close to the deadline, and parents need to know when that is. So there are some programs we're going to look at. But then there's other ones we don't, and it would be probably cost prohibitive. People wouldn't sign up for as many programs if they had paid for them all at once. So.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, though. That's good. Anything.
Okay. Anything else on marketing, communications? No, we're good. Safety and wellness.
That usual line, we're very safe. No, the safety the safety committee has met. They're evaluating many different things, one of them being our procedures for lockdown for different situations. So we are working with the village and the school and actually a private company just to, again, go over our procedures in our training, get a training program for that. So that continues to be a priority for us.
Good. Okay, so executive director's report.
All right, I just want to remind anybody who, if you really want to see what NSSRA is all about, a great way to see that and the impact they made on our program participants and our parents is to go to the banquet on Friday, April 20th. The Park District sends the board members and your spouse, if you'd like to go, you just have to let us know so we can register you. But it is a great. Great event, and if you ever seen, pardon me, it's going to be at the Hilton Chicago Northbrook.
Oh, out there by Milwaukee.
Yeah, it's a wonderful event. I mean, I've never seen when they say the DJ's going on. I've never seen so many kids run to the dance floor so fast. So it's amazing. So it's just it is great. Yes. Yep. So please let us know if you'd like to go to that. It's really, I can't even express. You really see the impact they make on these families' lives, and when you hear the ones who are getting the awards, the way that families talk about the impact that NSSRA has made on their child's life, it's just amazing. So we are once again partnering with Northbrook to give our residents resident rates at Northbrook Pools, and then Northbrook gets resident rates at our Glencoe Beach for passes only. So that's a great partnership. It enables us to provide a swimming pool to our residents for residence rates and same with Northbrook. It's one of those accreditation things they look for, is that we're able to partner with other districts to provide services that we do not have. So and we'll continue to push that.
Brief question.
Yes.
So looking at the table of data there,
yes.
So under members and visits in the second table, 561 for last summer. So that's 561 visits by Glencoe residents to the Northbrook Pool.
Pass holders.
Yes, pass holders. Yes.
So that doesn't include the splash visits.
Right. So even though we have more Northbrook residents buying passes for the Glencoe Beach, we're seeing our residents that are going to Northbrook get a lot of use out of it. So there's some value for them.
Definitely, without a doubt.
We just need to increase the number of people who are taking advantage of it.
You got to remember that Northbrook also, the population of Northbrook is a lot bigger than the population of Glencoe.
Yeah.
So if you look at the actual numbers, residents percentage-wise, it's probably very similar.
Yeah.
2.5 times the size of Glencoe. So.
I think the statistic that's interesting, though, is how many did it the first year we offered it and how few do it now. So that
it looks like it gained a little bit of traction last year. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I am meeting with the Northbrook marketing people at the end of the month to discuss it.
Good, great.
All right, we are continue to work on our master plan projects. So Old Elm, Vernon, and Jefferson and Woodlawn that were approved are being detailed specification bids are being prepared on that. And then obviously we talked about the next phase of our planning, which we'll be talking about soon. The brochure's out, which we already talked about. Just trying to see if there's anything else. Watts Eye Center officially closed, and we'll do a report on that in the April meeting. Let's see if there's anything. That Children's Circle, we talked about that. We have quite several village-wide committees. One thing that, if anybody has any ideas for the village-wide celebration for their 150th anniversary, please send them my way. They have many ideas. So if you have any ideas how not only the Park District, but a village or any other organization could celebrate, it's not just about the Park District, but we'll take on a couple of those things. I'm still working
on... If I may add, or a specific project that might be good for Park District project to...
Not necessarily serve. Park District, but village-wide park,
well,
project.
Well, village-wide mm-hmm. project.
Yeah, that could be on Park District land.
Right.
There, how you
maybe
like
a fountain, or maybe something else.
Something.
I'll throw it out so I'll never remember to tell you, but a lot of people don't get a chance to see these wonderful photographs we have along this hallway that show the Park District years ago.
Back in the day.
And, you know, dancing.
Those were developed at our 100th anniversary.
Oh, well, then we can just... We
right?
should take it. If yep. we've already done it, maybe we, you know, that would be the type of thing mm-hmm. that might be interesting and is display mm-hmm. someplace.
Okay,
and
that's a good
it
idea.
Cost us a ton of money.
It's a good idea.
We already have it. So.
Yeah, I like that. Continue working on DA. We went through. We have four of the six criterias or sections done already, so we'll be ready for review in October. I'll be on vacation starting. Thursday through Thursday afternoon through the following Friday, but I will be here for the spring egg hunt on March 30th or whatever. That's it.
And upcoming meetings is?
The next committee meeting is on April 3rd, Tuesday, April 3rd at 7 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay, and that meeting will be covering just brainstorming ideas for the Green Bay Trail. No idea is a bad idea, so think outside the box.
Okay. Any questions for the director? No? No. Okay. Ready to move on to action items?
Oh, wait, Dudley. Josh has a question.
Just a quick. Of the beach passes that Northbrook residents use 96 or purchase 96 beach passes last year. What percentage of roughly of the total was that? 10%?
20%? Out of the revenue wise, it's about 20% total. I'd have to check the exact number. It all depends on the price and the number of households, so you can measure it by household or by number of passes. So that would be probably around 25 households.
I'm just wondering, like, relative to the number of blank
households. It's around 15%. I'd have to get the exact number and let you know.
Is that the largest non-blank contingency?
Again, I would have to check the demographics, but it would most likely be, yeah.
For passes, because we don't give any discounts for not, for, yeah. All right.
Okay, anything else? No? Okay. Well, we have a number of action items, so bear with me as we go through this. Of course, the most probably important thing is the budget here. So, I will entertain a motion to approve the fiscal year 2018-19 budget. There is an approval draft that you've received.
So moved.
Okay, any discussion? Anything you want to ask about? No, we've had some meetings on this already. Okay, shall we do a roll call?
Commissioner Boren? Stephanie?
Yes, sorry. Yes. Okay.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Undreck. Just make sure I didn't lose you, Stephanie.
Yes. She's still awake. Okay, item B. I entertain a motion to approve a one-year mowing service contract with Milieu Landscaping, $56,507, with the option for a second year based on performance as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. C, entertain a motion to approve purchase of a 2018, is that pronounced Kubota?
Kubota.
Kubota. Kubota. M Series Utility Cab Tractor. With
should be a John Deere, it would be easy.
Right. of the 2004 New Holland Tractor for $35,320.92 from Burns Equipment of Waukegan, Illinois, as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. Another motion. I entertain a motion to approve the purchase of a 2018 Kubota 5 Series UTV for $25,084.51 from Burris Equipment of Waukegan as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Yeah. This might be a good time just to mention that these are being purchased through a uniform state contract that gives us a better price.
It's a national contract.
National contract, okay.
Correct.
Great, good.
What is a 5 Series UTV? What is a UTV?
This is the vehicle. It's a four-wheel tracked vehicle that we use to plow all the sidewalks in the parks. We're currently using a
utility vehicle.
We also use it to down the beach for the fireworks. It's green.
It's like a gator.
Sidewalks
okay.
And parks.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Thanks.
Okay. Roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. I will entertain a motion to approve the purchase of a 2018 Toro Dingo and attachments from Martin Implement Sales of Orland Park, Illinois. $30,812 as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? No. Roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, moving along. I entertain a motion to approve changing the designation of park. Is that 13S?
Yes.
Not IS. 13S to the name Vernon Playground as presented.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? We talked about this at our committee meeting.
This is a much better name than
13S. I
The sign would look bad with 13S.
Roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay. I entertain a motion to approve TACF parking improvement phase D to include bike racks in three locations, walking trail
adjacent,
entrance adjacent, parking adjacent, and incorporating pavers into the front entrance plaza design as presented.
So moved.
So moved. Oops, Commissioner.
So who's second?
Second.
I did.
Second, okay. Discussion?
Is it TACF or TACF? There's my
question. I say TACF.
It's TACF.
TACF?
Oh.
Yeah.
You catch the jacket.
TACF.
Okay, thank you.
TACF. Okay, we'll be TACF. I wanted to say that it's my understanding that some of these improvements also contribute to meeting our ADA requirements. Is that correct?
They will fix some of those issues in our parking lot, correct.
Okay. Good. Okay, so roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner Ludden?
Yes.
President Underdunk?
Yes. Okay, and now we have our biannual review of closed session minutes. I entertain a motion to approve and keep confidential executive session minutes, including February 20th, 2018. And to release from confidentiality minutes to include February 16th, 2016, October 18th, 2016, November 15th, 2016, January 17th, 2017, February 28th, 2017, May 16th, 2017, and to authorize the destruction of audio recordings of its closed meetings held on the following dates as to which closed meeting official minutes have been approved and no litigation under the Open Meetings Act is pending, including February 16, 2016, as mandated by 5 ILCS 120/2C21.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. Roll call.
Commissioner Bourne?
Yes.
Commissioner Brooks?
Yes.
Commissioner Gaines?
Yes.
Commissioner London?
Aye.
President Underdonk?
Yes.
Okay. Okay.
Exhausting. Good job, all guys.
Right. Now, other matters from the public. No public here, I don't think.
There is.
Well, there is. She's just patiently sitting there quietly there.
No, thank you.
Before this meeting, she was going to run for the board, but now...
No, she's like, forget this.
Okay. Other business to come before this august body?
I have nothing.
Okay. No reason to have an executive session?
Nope.
And so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All right. Motion adjourned. Thank you, Stephanie.